Okay, you're all being recorded. Glory to God.
Third stage. Okay, by way of review, here we go. We've got four geographical locations that have to do with the second coming. Not one. Somebody tell me, what is ground zero? Always, what is ground zero? Jerusalem is ground zero. Everything centers and revolves around Jerusalem. That's why the Muslims, the Arabs, they all want Jerusalem. It's the holy city. It's where Jesus Christ will set up his throne. Now, the other three places, one is northwest. This map is facing you, so I'll reverse it. Here's Jerusalem. If you travel about 25 miles northwest, you'll hit a town called Megiddo by the Valley of Jezreel. This is where we learned in week one, stage one, the armies of Antichrist were gathered together in the Valley of Jezreel by Mount Megiddo. Megiddo. It's Mount Megiddo. But it's not really a mountain, it's a hill. It's only about 500 feet above sea level. It's small. But next to it is that valley where the blood is going to come up to the horse's bridles. That's a lot of blood. Okay? He's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's our second location, Megiddo. Third location, you got to go about 200 miles to the east. For you guys, it's this way, east. And you hit what?
Babylon.
Babylon is the worldwide headquarters of Antichrist. He hasn't moved to Jerusalem yet to sit in the temple of God. His headquarters is in Babylon, which is modern-day Baghdad. Okay? When the Bible, we're literalists, and when the Bible says something, God means what he says. Unless he says this is a parable, this is an illustration, this is parabolic. No. When he says Babylon, he means literal geographical Babylon. We've studied that. Fourthly, there's a fourth location. We're going to see that tonight. It's called Bozra. If you go south from ground zero, you'll hit south, barely to the east, you'll hit Edom. That's modern-day Jordan. There's a town called Bozra. And in Bozra, there's a place called Tzila Petra. It's a massive cavernous system of caves where the remnant will be hid. Okay, that's our four geographical locations that have to do with the second coming. That's why it can get real confusing, your Old Testament prophecies. He's talking about Bozra, he's talking about Megiddo, he's talking about Babylon, he's talking about Jerusalem. You say, well, where exactly is he coming? Mount of Olives? They're all have their place. And it's a sequence of events that will take place that we're studying. Tonight, the third stage of the second coming is the fall of Jerusalem. Look with me in Revelation 16. Verse 12, we read, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up." Why? "That the way of the kings of the east," that's Babylon, remember? For you, Babylon, "might be prepared." God is going to dry up the Euphrates River so that all these armies can march right through on dry ground. By the way, what did we discover they're going to march right over? Jeremiah's scroll. Jeremiah's scroll that predicted their utter annihilation, they're going to walk right over it. If they just pick it up and read, maybe they turn around. But they won't. Because he was told to cast it into the Euphrates. Verse 13. "And I saw three unclean spirits," these are powerful demons, "like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet." There's the satanic trinity. Everything God does, Satan imitates. Antichrist, he's going to pretend to be Jesus Christ. Hold that thought, Lucas. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles." You notice we don't, we don't look for signs and wonders and miracles in this church. Why? Because the devil can give you signs and wonders and miracles. It says so in the Bible. The Bible says Satan has the power to call down fire from heaven. I mean, he's a powerful being. And we don't go by signs, wonders, and miracles because we go by faith. Amen? Faith. The Bible says, Jesus asked the question. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" We got a bunch of people in churches today, folks, that they want to be entertained. And they want all these experiences. They want to speak in tongues, and they want to be healed physically. You know, so everything's healing, 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 healing. God can heal you, and he doesn't need Benny Hinn to do it.
God can heal you. You don't need a fake healer, as I call them. Verse number 14. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth. That's the rulers, the presidents, the leaders of the countries, and of the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now here in verse 14, we have the actual title of the Battle of Armageddon. When somebody says the Battle of Armageddon, they're talking about the second coming. But it's an improper term. Here's what God calls it. The great day of God Almighty. That's what it's called. Because it involves more than Megiddo. Folks, it involves more than Megiddo. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, Mount Megiddo. And the seventh angel poured out his vial. Uh-oh. When this seventh angel pours out his vial, bad things are coming down. And to the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city, Jerusalem, was what? Divided into three parts. Jerusalem is going to fall, but notice the context, the sequence of events. First, the unclean devil spirits gather the armies into Megiddo. You see it in our text? Second, Babylon is destroyed. His headquarters is annihilated. Third, the great city falls. So tonight, that's what we're looking at. The third stage of the second coming is where Jerusalem falls. But one of the things you'll need to see tonight, before Jerusalem falls, those Jews are going to wreak havoc on the armies of Antichrist. I want to show you that. They are going to wipe out millions of his soldiers. You're going to see that tonight. Now, you know it says in the Bible that one third will come through the fire in Zechariah chapter 13. Yeah. One third of the Jews will come through, be purged and come through the fire. You know what that means, folks? I hate to say this. Two thirds of the Jews are going to be destroyed by the Antichrist and his evil host. They're going to bring the guillotine back, and it's going to be bad. But there's going to be a remnant saved. Keep that in mind. And he says, divided into thirds here. All right, church. In stage one, we saw clearly that the armies of Antichrist were gathered to Armageddon in the Valley of Jezreel. In stage two, we saw the fall and total destruction of Babylon in graphic detail. Now, remember that Antichrist was with his armies where? When Babylon fell, where was Antichrist?
In Megiddo.
Right! He's in Megiddo with his troops. He's not there. That's why Antichrist is still alive when Babylon is destroyed. And what did God tell his believing people in Babylon before it was annihilated?
To get out.
Come out from her. And he said, and let Jerusalem come into thy mind. In other words, come out and go to Jerusalem. All right, there was going to be a siege there, but they were going to hold out. Now, what do you suppose Antichrist is going to do when his messengers come to Megiddo and inform him that his capital, Babylon, has been destroyed and there is none left alive? What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to be happy? He is going to be fit to be tied. And he's going to set his sight on the Jews where? In Jerusalem. Babylon, destroyed. Megiddo, all the armies of Antichrist, the post, they come on horseback, and they notify him, we've been destroyed. There's nothing left. And he says, And he turns this way, toward Jerusalem. And he says, let's go get him, boys. Let's make him pay for this. So, he comes, and he starts to march toward Jerusalem. Answer, he will attack Jerusalem, and it is this point of the tribulation period that Antichrist will begin to march his armies southeast from Megiddo toward the holy city with great fury. Look with me in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to move tonight. In Matthew 24, we have an incredible prophecy concerning the tribulation period, right? And The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the Jews in Matthew 24. He's not speaking to Gentiles, folks. This is why so many preachers get messed up doctrinally and they're preaching on Gentiles in Matthew 24 when he's not talking to Gentiles. Look with me in Matthew 24 and look with me at verse number 9. Don't miss this. Verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Question. Who is the you of verse 9? Who? Somebody said it. Tribulation Jews. It's tribulation period Jews that he's talking to. And shall kill you. Many of them are going to be killed. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Does that sound familiar? The Jews are hated of all nations, Lucas?
It does sound familiar, but at the same time, it still doesn't rule out the fact that there are going to be believers who are going to be persecuted too.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, believers during the tribulation period. Good point, brother. Gentile believers during the tribulation period will be getting axed too. Antichrist will be, if they don't take his mark, which they won't, because they're true believers, they get the head off. We'll see that later on. But look at this, verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What? Did you see that verse?
What, you mean I got to work for my salvation?
No.
Oh!
Oh, no!
He's not talking to you. Who's he talking to? Jews during the tribulation period. You've got to endure to the end to be saved in the tribulation period. All these preachers go, you lose your salvation. If you sin, you lose your salvation. They're trying to scare tactics, you know? Brother, I'm under grace. I am not a Jew, and I am not under the law of Moses.
Now, look here. Look with me at verse number 12. And because verse 14. And this gospel of the what?
Of the kingdom.
Grace. Did it say the gospel of grace? No. They're not preaching the gospel of grace during the tribulation period.
The gospel of the kingdom.
That's right, Marion. They're preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom. If you want to be part of the kingdom, you've got to do two things. You've got to refuse the mark of Antichrist. That's a work, by the way. And you've got to believe on Jesus Christ by faith. It's a combination of faith and not doing certain things. You can't worship the Antichrist to be saved. Verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now drop down with me to verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea, when the Antichrist comes down from Megiddo, what's he going to travel through? The land of Judea. There's a whole bunch of Jews in Judea, outside of Jerusalem. Okay? And watch what he says to them. Somebody's coming through. Verse 16. Let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Something horrible is about to happen. Neither let him which is in the field to return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. These are women who get pregnant after the rapture. But pray that your flight be not in winter. Next week we're going to see that they're going to fly somewhere. The remnant, okay? Neither on the Sabbath day. Why? And the Sabbath day, you can't do anything. You can't work. You can't travel.
Airlines are closed.
And the airlines in Israel are closed. Thank you, Ellie.
Oh, my Lord.
The Bible, man, is so far ahead of these scientists today. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the world began. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days, tribulation days, shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Question, church. Who is the elect in verse 22? Who is that talking about? The elect? Who is that?
Of the Jews.
Of the Jews. It's not talking about the elect bride. She's not there. We're gone up. Woo-hoo. Arpazo. Caught away. Raptured. We're nowhere to be found. We're in heaven. The elect is the elect nation. Israel is still God's elect nation, though they're in unbelief. A Jew dies, he does not go to heaven unless he's born again, like you and I. But they still are the elect nation. You have to understand that.
And within that elect nation, there is a remnant like Fruchtenbaum and these messianic, Jerry Golden, and these Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, they're born again. That's the remnant of Israel. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Amen? To be a true Israelite, Jesus said, Nathanael, a true Israelite, in whom is no guile. Glory to God. He was said he's part of the elect because he was a true believer. All right, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, like Antichrist, and false prophets, like the false prophet, and shall show, look at this, shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Remember, context, we're in the seven-year period here. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, not yours, church. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's Daniel's 70th week. Daniel was a Jew, amen? Now, this surrounding of Jerusalem by the Antichrist and all of the armies of the world, which he will control, is described in great detail in the Old Testament. Go with me to Zechariah. Zechariah, flip back from Matthew before Malachi, you'll hit Zechariah. And look with me at chapter 12. Don't miss this, folks. We won't be long, but this is going to get good right here. I want you to see that Antichrist is going to suffer massive losses, incredible numbers of casualties during this siege, because the Jews are going to be given supernatural divine power from God at this time. Look with me in Zechariah 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Notice, it's not the blessing of the Lord, it's the burden of the Lord for Israel. Saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make, what's the next word? Jerusalem, a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Now, time out. Stop reading. Who are all the people round about Jerusalem in this context?
That's the Judea.
It's the Antichrist and his armies. They have surrounded Jerusalem. No one escapes. He says, boys, anyone comes out, kill him. Off with the head. Okay, verse number 2. Look at this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. When? He's going to tell you when this is going to happen. When they shall be in the siege. Whose siege? The Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to lay siege against Jerusalem. Both against Judah, that's the surrounding territory, and against Jerusalem, the holy city. And in that day, saith the Lord, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. He's saying, you want to mess with my holy city? You're going to be cut up. Verse 3, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. They will. This day is coming when all the people... Now notice here that God foretells the world that one day Jerusalem will be surrounded by all of the nations of planet Earth. Remember, Jerusalem is ground zero. And everything concerning the second coming revolves around Jerusalem. Why? Why does everything revolve around Jerusalem? Lucas?
A couple of reasons. First reason I would say is that the enemy obviously hates anything that God makes because the enemy wanted God's throne. He couldn't have it. And B, not only does Israel have to deal with the enemy, they also have to deal with Islam as well. Islam wants control of the world
but
too.
But what does the Antichrist want to prevent from happening in Jerusalem?
Christ's return.
The what?
Jesus' return.
Exactly. He wants to prevent Jesus Christ from setting up his kingdom with the capital of the world being Jerusalem. So if he can take Jerusalem, he can prevent. And the other thing is this. You ever notice how the devil's always trying to kill all the Jews in the world? He's always trying to kill all the Jews since Abraham. Always. Because if he kills every Jew, what cannot happen?
Christ. Come through. He's a Jew.
And set up a kingdom over the Jews, he said.
Why are you
eliminating? If you could eliminate every Jew, the Bible would be false. and the prophecies could not come to pass, and the devil would win. Don't hold your breath on that one, boys.
All right. Now, notice here, Jerusalem is ground zero. That's why they all want Jerusalem. When Mohammed Morsi got into office, the Muslim Brotherhood, he said the first thing in his speech, he said it, you know, in Egyptian tongue. We are going to march to Jerusalem. We are going to take Jerusalem for the capital of Egypt. How we want Jerusalem. Yeah. So does the Palestinians. So does Hezbollah. So does Syria. So does Iran. They all want Jerusalem because they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set his kingdom up there. Now, three things must be noted here concerning the siege at Jerusalem. First, observe who makes this promise in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." What is being described there in verse 1? Begins with a C. The creation. So it's the creator of all things that's speaking. Amen?
Amen?
And because it's the creator of all things, he's going to make it happen. And we need to pay attention when he speaks. Secondly, the effect of attacking Jerusalem, found in verse 2. Notice the effect. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem." He says there's going to be some shaking going on. There's going to be some wrath being poured out. Amen? Why? Because they're coming against the holy city. Thirdly, something else I want you to notice. Thirdly, observe the result of attacking the Jews. In verse 3, the result of attacking the Jews. Verse 3, "In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." He's saying that a burdensome stone, it's like this. The guy says, "Well, what's this mean?" It means, the Lord said, it means this. You're trying to lift the stone out of the road so that you can drive by, and that stone is so heavy, I think I pulled a muscle in my back. It's a burden. It's a burdensome stone. It's too heavy to lift. You can't alter what God says. Jerusalem is a burdensome stone. Next, notice the supernatural element of this battle, found in verse 4. The supernatural element. "In that day, saith the Lord," what's that next word? I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. What horses and riders is he talking about? Is he talking about the Jews? Nope. That's right. The soldiers that are surrounding Jerusalem. Every horse, every rider with madness. They're going to go insane. They're going to lose it, as we say. You're going to be like, "Where am I? What am I doing?" Just going to go crazy. Verse 4. Look at it. "And his rider with madness. I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness." Their horses are going to go physically blind. When the Antichrist says, "Forward march, boys," they're all going to be like, "Where's forward?" They don't know, because their horses are blinded. They don't know which way to go. See the supernatural element involved here? Now, observe the divine empowerment of the governors of Judah in verse 5. "And the governors of Judah," that's the political rulers, like Bibi. I don't believe Bibi is saved. Right, we've talked about this. But I believe Bibi is the chosen leader of Israel for the tribulation. I believe that. Because he will not bow to the Antichrist. He will not give up the land. Bibi is a strong man. And I believe he will be saved during the tribulation period. Because he's a true man. But look at verse 5. "And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God." Now, what's that mean? It means that the leaders are saying, "My guys are stronger than his guys." You see that in verse 5? Look at that. "They shall say in their heart," these are the political leaders, "the inhabitants of Jerusalem," that's the fighting men, "shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God." He says, "I know that my boys are going to be empowered by God in this fight." Glory to God. Then notice the devouring fire of the Jews. Verse 6. "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire amongst the wood. You know what fire does to wood? And like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Now the Holy Spirit is skipping ahead here to the millennium in verse 6. You see that? But it's not going to go down without a fight. There's going to be a tremendous war taking place. Also observe the tents of Judah outside of Jerusalem, saved first. Look at verse 7. The Lord also shall save. That's not salvation like we have. It's a physical deliverance. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah. What's that next word? First. Why? They're going to get hit first. Judea is going to get hit before they get into Jerusalem. You got to go through Judea. So he says the Lord's going to save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. The Jews in Jerusalem are going to see that their brethren are being delivered by God from the Antichrist armies outside of Jerusalem. And they're not going to become prideful. They're going to say, oh, we need God too. Also see the divine enablement of the weak in verse 8. I love this. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble amongst them at that day shall be as David. You know, David never lost a battle in the Old Testament. David was a man of war. And he was supernaturally empowered to win every battle he went in the name of the Lord God of Israel, except one, and that was at home. He lost one at home, a big one. But no war did he ever lose. You know why? God was with him. And God would tell him, David, when you hear a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, a brushing, that's angel's wings. Then go forth, because the Lord's host has gone before you. I love it. Those angels fight for us, beloved. And look at this. And he that is feeble among them shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. That's the angel of the Lord. That's the second person of the Godhead, by the way. Then notice God's ultimate intent. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to what? Destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Listen now, church. Every anti-Semite will be forever destroyed by the Lord God of Israel. Every Ahmadinejad, every Assad, every Hamas, every Hezbollah, every terrorist, every PLO, every Muslim Brotherhood, everyone will be destroyed, saith the Lord. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Somebody's getting saved. And it's not the armies of Antichrist. They've already got the mark. They're already doomed. Now, this battle for Jerusalem is further described in Micah. Turn with me to the little epistle, a minor prophet, Micah. And go to Micah just before Nahum. Micah chapter number 4, just after Jonah. See if I can find those, I'll be all set. Micah chapter number 4. Smart lady, look at the page number. Micah chapter 4, this is further described, this battle for Jerusalem. Look in Micah chapter 4, look with me at verse number 11. Don't miss this. Now also, tribulation context. Many nations are gathered against thee, Jerusalem, that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. They're saying, we want Jerusalem. We're going to take it. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Time out. What's that mean?
You know what they do with the sheaves of wheat? They thresh it. And these people are going to be thrashed. They're going to be destroyed.
Look at this, verse number 12. They know not the Lord. He shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. He's telling his Jews in Jerusalem to wreak some havoc upon Antichrist's armies. For I will make thine horn iron, And I will make thy hoofs brass. Brass in the Bible is a type of what? Begins with a J. Judgment. Always it has to do with judgment. Divine judgment. The brazen altar. Okay. And thou shalt beat in pieces. Many people. He's talking to the Jews. Many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. And their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills. Amen. Now, listen carefully. Notice their evil intent in verse 11. Micah 4, verse 11. They say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. That's Jerusalem. They want Zion. Secondly, observe their complete ignorance of God's will. Look at verse 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel. Some people, you can talk to them until they're blue in the face. They just don't get it. What do you mean Jesus Christ died for my sins? What do you mean the devil's real? Are you crazy? You believe what that Bible says? Oh yeah. They understand not the thoughts of the Lord. And the world is full of... You're in the minority tonight, church. You're in God's house tonight, learning prophecy. You're in the minority. And I'd rather be in the minority with God than the majority on the broad road leading to hell. Listen now. Observe their complete ignorance of God's will in verse number 12. Thirdly, see their comparison to wheat in verse 13. Arise and thresh with hoofs of brass. Somebody's getting stomped. And I mean, it's not pretty. Micah chapter 5. You're there. Look at the next verse. Chapter 5, look at verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. That's the Jews speaking. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now, the gathering is summoned. They're summoned in verse number 1. And although there will be massive casualties to the forces of Antichrist, yet by God's permissive will, Jerusalem will ultimately fall. And once again, Jerusalem will come under Gentile control, but only for a short time. Go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. The Jews will destroy, I believe, millions of the Antichrist soldiers at this time. But ultimately they will fall. All according to God's plan. Why? They're not yet regenerated. They're still in unbelief at this point, beloved. Keep that in mind. Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. We know what that's talking about. The day of the Lord. It's a 1,000-year day, including the tribulation period. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Why? For I will gather some nations. No. All nations against who? Jerusalem to battle. Can you imagine the numbers of soldiers surrounding Jerusalem at this time? We're talking, listen, Ahmadinejad boasts of his million-man army. And he's got one. So what? They can't do nothing. But imagine all of the million-man armies from all over the world coming against little tiny Jerusalem. Just a dot on the map. But they all want it. They all want it. Verse 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. See that? Jerusalem shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. There's going to be massive rape of precious Jewish women at this time by these animals.
Oh my God.
It's going to be allowed. It's part of the judgment, folks. I know it's sad. Verse 2. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity. But the residue, the remnant of the people, shall not be cut off from the city. Now, follow me here. The Bible says in stage number 3, Jerusalem will be attacked viciously by all these armies. There will be many casualties on both sides, but ultimately, Antichrist will prevail, and he will take over Jerusalem for a time. Stage four, quickly. We have time to do this. This will only take me 10 minutes. The fourth stage of the second advent is the armies of the Antichrist gathered together to Bozra. To Bozra. Now, why? Go with me to Isaiah for a minute. I want to show you something before we get into this. Isaiah chapter 63. Look at this verse. Just came to me. For years I prayed and said, Lord, what's this? Why is this in the Bible? And he showed me. In Isaiah chapter 63, look at this question that's asked in verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom? That's Jordan. With dyed garments from Bozra. There it is, Bozra. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, it's Messiah. Wherefore art thou, another question, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, in thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? His garments were all soaked with a red substance. I have trod in the winepress alone. And he's not making wine, he's not crushing grapes. And of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their what? Blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. He, the Messiah, comes from Bozra. You know where he's heading? We're going to see this next week. He's heading back to Jerusalem. Remember, half of the city was not taken? He's heading back to Jerusalem, and he's heading for the Mount of Olives. And his garments are totally blood-soaked from Bozra. Something occurred down there in Bozra. Remember, I told you, there's four locations we have to look at for this to make sense. Now, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah, quickly. And we're almost done. Jeremiah chapter 49. Look at this prophecy. That's why we need the whole Bible. Amen? Amen. I'm so glad we've got it all. I believe every verse of every chapter of every book. I even believe the cover says Holy Bible. That's right. Oh, glory to God. Fourth stage, Jeremiah chapter 49. Now, the Jews that escape the siege at Jerusalem will flee where?
Petra.
Where?
Petra.
That's right, Sela Petra. Where is that located? In what city? Bozra. It's in Bozra, right? So, which is in Edom, the country of Jordan, modern-day Jordan. It's a place called Sela Petra. Antichrist will pursue those Jews who flee to Sela Petra in Bozra. That's why he's coming back from Bozra, Messiah, having rescued them. We'll see that too. In Jeremiah chapter 49, look at it. The picture is becoming focused, I tell you. Verse 13, look at this. For I, God is speaking, for I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozra shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. Question, why? Somebody is wreaking havoc down in Bozra and there's nothing left breathing. This is a destruction from the Lord. The Lord says, I have sworn by myself that I'm going to do this. When God says he's going to do it, you better mark her down. He's going to do it. Verse 14, I've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. Now, this is a summons to the heathen, the people of Antichrist, to come against her. The her of verse 14 is the remnant of Israel. God says, I double dare you. Come and get her, boys. I dare you. Because God has a plan. He wants them to come. He says, sharpen your swords, boys. Put on your, gird your loins with sackcloth. Come on up to battle. Get your strong guys and come to the battle. They want to destroy the remnant. Look at verse 18. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody remember that? And the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there. Neither shall the son of man dwell in it. Where? That's Bozra. Something horrific has occurred in Bosra. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. You got to get the picture here. The Antichrist is going to run away like a little scaredy cat from her, the remnant of Israel. And who is the chosen man that I may appoint over her? The Messiah. That who is like me? This is God the Father speaking. And who will appoint me the time? Who is that shepherd that will stand before me? He says, I got somebody in mind. I got somebody just right for the job. Amen? My son. Glory to God. Look with me in verse 21. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Now, folks, if you know your geography of the Middle East, Harry knows a little bit. Bosra is way over here in Jordan, and you got to go about 80 miles southwest to get to the Red Sea, all right? It's about 80 miles. And they can hear it. They can hear the noise of the destruction going on in Bosra at the Red Sea. Look at that. Verse 21, the earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Now, Micah chapter 2. Back to Micah. Go to chapter 2. We're almost done, folks, I promise. Micah chapter 2. Right on schedule, too. Glory to God. After Jonah, before Nahum, Micah. Look at this. We'll close with this. In Micah, chapter number 2, look with me at verse 12. God says, chapter 2, verse 12. This is God speaking. I will surely assemble, O Jacob. Now, what do we say when we see the name Jacob in the Old Testament? It's always speaking of physical Israel. Physical Israel from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau. Okay, so we understand these are physical Jews. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. Did you catch that, all? At the end of the tribulation period, listen to me. Every single living Jew, ethnic, physical Jew, is going to be carried by angels to Israel. It's going to be neat seeing them fly through the air, right? Glory to God. Angelic assistance will bring them. I will assemble all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of America? No! Israel! I will put them together as the sheep of where? Bosra. Hint, hint. He says the remnant is going to be in Bosra at Sinapitra. As the flock in the midst of their fold, they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Look with me at verse 13. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them.
He says, boys, we're going to march from Bosra up to Jerusalem. We've got a city to take over. We've got a kingdom to set up. Amen? We've got a millennium to erect. Glory to God.
They're heading for Jerusalem. And I love verse 13 because it says the king is on the head of them. The king shall pass before them. The Lord on the head. Woo! Now, okay, with the completion of the fourth stage. That's the fourth stage, the gathering at Bosra. The Messiah's, we come here at verse 13 of Micah 2:12. 2:13, we come to the last 3 days before Messiah's touchdown at Mount Olive. Mount of Olives, Olivet, okay? So, we're getting there. We've got 4 more stages, but a couple of them are quick. Glory to God. Next week, we'll see the fifth stage, and that is the national regeneration of Israel. Glory to God, it's going to be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening, Lord. Thank you for these prophecies, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can see. It's as if your Holy Spirit is opening up the scriptures, the prophetic scriptures like never before. And we're beginning to focus in the camera lens of prophecy and see clearly what you're fixing to do on planet Earth. And it is exciting, Lord. Oh, we're so grateful tonight, Lord, that we know Jesus. We know the Messiah. We know the King of Kings. And Lord, we're thankful that when He comes back, Father, we'll be riding on white horses with Him. Glory to God. What a future we have, Lord. We're such a blessed people tonight. And Lord, we want to pray for Israel. They are in unbelief tonight. They are in a state of unregeneration. They are in a state of disbelief. And Lord, they need to be saved. I do thank you, Lord, that messianic works are springing up in Israel. And some Jews are getting saved. But oh Lord, they're just a drop in the bucket. Lord, I believe there's 16 million Jews worldwide today. And the Bible says that 2/3 will be cut off during the 7-year tribulation. That is very sad, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that you've got a plan for the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just as you promised our spiritual father Abraham way back in Genesis 12, that you would bless the world through his seed, the Messiah, and Lord, you would give him a land forever. We thank you, Lord, that you've not changed your mind about that. Though Israel is in unbelief today, she is still your elect nation. And one day soon and very soon, she will be born again, just as we are. She will receive the spirit of grace and supplication. And she will cry and mourn and lament for as one mourneth for an only son that was lost. And they will realize that you were their Savior, Messiah, King 2,000 years ago. And they will repent. And you will pour out the Holy Spirit upon them as you have for us. Lord, we look forward to that day. And we thank you for the study tonight. And we ask you to use us this week, Lord. Wherever we come in contact with folks that need you, help us to be your ambassadors to a lost and dying world. Help us to give out these gospel tracts, Lord. Tell folks that Jesus loves them. Invite them to church. But more importantly, to invite them to the Savior, the precious Lord Jesus Christ. We love you tonight and we thank you again for a wonderful day. Lord, it's been good to be in your house with your people today. It's always good when we gather around your throne and hear from heaven. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in our midst in a powerful way. And Lord, thank you for drawing us closer to you today. It's just a blessing to be with your people seeking your face. Lord, bless us as we dismiss. Grant us traveling mercies as we go our separate ways. And Lord, till we come together again, may your blessing be upon us. And may your grace be with us, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us every step of the way. And Lord, one last thing. We want to pray for Brother Carl tonight. Oh Lord, what a horrible concussion he suffered. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that he's at home resting tonight and that you are with him and Carol. And Lord, we pray that you would apply that precious healing balm of Gilead to his head and heal that injury that he suffered, Lord. Take away the migraines and the dizziness and the equilibrium being all messed up, Lord, and make him whole again. We thank you for his faithfulness and we thank you that he loves you with all his heart and that you're with him, O God. Bless us, Lord, and for any others, Tim, we pray for Tim tonight. Bless him and strengthen him, Father. And any others that are not feeling well, just heal them where it's needed, Father. And thank you for being who you are tonight, the faithful God, righteous and true. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, and the people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals and let's sing in closing tonight. Let's sing hymn number 130. An appropriate hymn to close with. Let's stand for 130. Ah, yes, indeed. There is power in the blood. First, second, and fourth. Thank you, Lord.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder looking power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb on the fourth. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Hey, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Everybody now. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. Thought some of you were going to run the aisles. Praise the Lord. Mike, dismiss us in prayer tonight. Thank you for being here.
Well, we thank you for this time we have together. We thank the Lord for hearing the word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. We pray that you bless each one of us, Lord, that you encourage us, help us to go out, Lord, and proclaim your word to others. Mm. Lord, I pray that you be with Carl. Continue, Lord, to heal him. Mm. Bring him back, whole again, Lord. As we know, you can do that, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We pray now that you keep us all safe. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people.
Please give Carol a prayer, too. She's going through a lot.
Yes, pray for Carol.
And also with her son.